This year will be different. This year will be different. It's the title of this message. People all over the world will be making goals and objectives for the upcoming year, what they're going to do in 2014, what they're going to leave behind in 2013. And we'll get excited about that sometimes, about, you know, getting rid of the old and embracing the new. For some of us, we've had a lot of ups and downs in the year 2013. Some of us more ups and some of us more downs. I know Christian was actually reflecting a little bit and talking to us at the house the other day about all the great things that happened to her this past year. Just all the things she's got to experience in a 12-month period has been incredible. The places she's went, things she's that God's done for her life in this past year, been a wonderful year. For others, we've lost people that we love. We've lost, you know, had death, tragedy, sickness, maybe divorce, whatever the case may be. But a new year's on the horizon, and we're about to embark in the year 2014. Now, can you imagine? I mean, I remember as a kid when that movie, what movie was that had the year on it that came out? Was it 1984. And I remember as a little boy in that movie, that sounded so futuristic, you know, 1984. And here we are, 2014. Remember the song Party Like It's 1999? Well, that's been 15 years ago now. You know, that's old. The party's ended. I mean, it is amazing. We're in the year 2014. Who would have thunk we'd be here in that year? I mean, me and Christian shared last night. We watched It's a Wonderful Life. She'd never seen it before. And so me and her watched it. Mel and Ashley went on to do a couple things and out of the house. And so it was me and Ashley. I mean, me and Christian. So we watched the whole movie. It's kind of a slow-paced movie. I know for a young person, too. It's not very stimulating. Here's the thing about this movie that makes it so boring, okay? It has no nudity, no violence, no profanity, no sex scenes. Boring movie, right? She doesn't like Jimmy Stewart's voice. How can you not like his voice? Mary, do you want that moon up there? Mary, I'll lasso the moon and pull it right down to you. That's what I'll do if you want to. I'll give you what you want. This drafty old barn. Why'd he move this drafty old house for? I like his voice. But anyway, we watched that movie last night and shared it. And to go back to that time period of see how life has changed from that time to now, you know, it's changed so much. You know, the men wore suits and hats and ties. The women all dressed up with dresses and their bonnets. And now we're lucky if we can find people dressed at all. I mean, it's really amazing how far we've advanced in our society. And it's such a different time period. And that was based in the, early 1900s, that movie? 1930s? 40s, early 40s? Early 40s. So World War II, yeah, broke out. So to see where we've come from 1940 to 2014 and how much has changed in our society is amazing. But the one thing that's not changed and ever will change is the love of God for you and His grace and mercy. That continues on and on. So we're going to talk about, we're going to read some scripture and talk about, I've got 3 points I want to make about this new year. So if you go to the next slide, Jeremy, we're going to, number one, this is something we all like to do. It's something that's hard to do, but it's something that we have to do in order to go forward. We have to forget the past. Forgetting the past is hard to do because the devil reminds us of our past all the time. All we've done wrong, all the seeds we've sown, and all the mistakes we've made, and all of our weaknesses, and all of our failures, and we think about all of our past all the time. If I could just go back and fix that. But we can't. That's why it's called the past. It is over, it's finished, it's final. We can't change anything about it. We must forget the past of what our failures were in 2013 or what we were carrying in 2013 and say, I'm going to let it down this year. I'm going to place it down and forget what happened to me back then. Not just for 2013, but for years before that as well. It's a time to start fresh, new, January 2014, brand new year. People celebrate all over the world the new year. The ball drops in New York and fireworks are happening all over the world and everybody celebrates a new year. How we celebrate it makes a big difference. Do we celebrate it trusting God or do we celebrate it trusting the world and its system? But forgetting the past is hard to do, especially when people keep reminding you of your past, especially when you're identified by that past. You can't escape it sometimes. But we have to learn to forget what we've done wrong and say, I'm putting that behind me so I can move forward. Because as long as we stay in the past, we cannot operate in the future and achieve anything that we have. Church, we made mistakes. We're going to continue to make mistakes. But don't let the devil harp that and say, you know what, you are what you've been. You are what you've done. No, we're not. We're a new creation in Christ, the Bible says. Old things have passed away. All things become new. So we must forget the past and move forward. There are some folks, family members and friends and neighbors and church families, that can't forget the past. And that's why you get dirty looks and snarls and snurs and, you hear this a lot. I can forgive, but I can't forget. As long as we keep that in our mind of not being able to forget, aren't you glad God forgated our sins? I mean, God truly forgot them. He forgot our sins. God truly under the grace forgot our sins. It says, like that psalm email is saying, what sin? It's removed as far as the east is from the west. What sin? What are you talking about? But God, no. You've asked forgiveness for that. What sin? What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't see you as that person. I see you as forgiven. You came to me. You asked for forgiveness. It's done. It's over. I see you as forgiven. That's the power of grace. And that's what a lot of people can't grasp, what that power really is of grace. That grace means I have forgotten your sins. I've removed them. I've erased them. I've covered them up. I don't see them no more. You're not judged by that anymore. You are now forgiven and released from all of that stuff that you used to have attached to you. You've been released from it. That's what grace is. That's why the cross exists. That's why Jesus came to wipe away and forgive us of our sins. But we sometimes can't forgive ourselves or can't forget the sins of others. And we keep stirring it up and keep reminding them of what they are and what they've done and who they are. And you're nothing but this. You'll never be nothing but this. You're always good. You're never going to change. Da, 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 da. And they hear that and they hear that until they're so frustrated. Guess what? They don't change. And they stay the way they are because they think there's no hope for them. We've got to learn to forget the past. You know, people, there are at any one time in our country, right at 1 million people incarcerated in the prison system in this nation. And one thing that I truly believe, and I know that there's different crimes, there's different severity of crimes, but one thing I think is bad is when a person serves time and comes out. We'll use Charles, for example, serving 7 years, down to 5.5 or so now, or something like that. When he comes out, by man's standard, that record will follow him. Though he's paid the price for the crime, though he's paid the price for what he has done, that record will follow him everywhere that he goes. It'll be on there. Serve time here. These years, these dates, this crime, this crime, this crime. The great thing about the Lord, church, he doesn't see us as a record. He sees our slate as clean. Though man doesn't, God does. God doesn't remind us every day, but remember when you did that. Remember when you were involved in that. Remember when you was on that road. Remember that Saturday night. Remember that Friday afternoon. Remember that time. He doesn't do that. Our record doesn't follow us in the sense of our past sins. God has forgiven that. He now sees us as a clean slate. We paid the price because Jesus paid the price, and we placed our faith in him, and he covered our sins and cleared our record and restored us, and we are free forever and liberated because of what he did. Not because of what we have done, because of what Jesus did. We are free. Go to the first verse we have for this morning. This is Philippians 3:13. This is Paul speaking. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing, Paul says, I understand. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. Paul says, I'm not going to let my past. Now remember who Paul was. Paul was a bad boy. I mean, he was bad. Paul was a murderer, accessory to murder anyway, at the least. Paul was a blasphemer. Paul hated Christians. He hated those Jesus freaks. And he had papers to go arrest anybody that believed in him. I mean, he had papers from the king, from the rulers, on his way to Damascus to arrest and imprison anybody that said they believe in Jesus. But something happened to Paul along the road. God spoke to him. And God called his name. And God knocked him to his knees. And God said, why are you kicking against me, Paul? Don't you know I've called you? And boy, Paul says, Lord, what will you have me do? Paul had to forget his past, or he could have never done anything for God in the future. Because he would always be reminded, God, I was there when Stephen was murdered, and I participated in that. God, I blasphemed your name. I was arresting people. I hated you. I cursed you, Lord. And you want to use me now as a minister of the gospel? Are you kidding me? As a church planner? Paul had to forget what was behind him and look forward to what was yet before him. We have to learn that our future is greater than our past, and that we're not defined by our past, that our past can change at any moment that we decide it's over and say, I'm no longer living like I've been or who I was. I'm making a decision to follow the Lord, let him clean me up and restore me and make me new again. I'm letting God brush me off and say, you know what? That was yesterday, but I'm the God today. So yesterday is gone, and praise God, today is here, and tomorrow is yet to come. So get out of your past and forget what was back then. Forget the mistakes. Forget the failure to say, God, I'm trusting you to give me a better today so I can enjoy and live in what you have for me right now. Paul had to forget it. Paul could never do anything for God if he'd have kept that in mind. Think about that. Think how unworthy we feel sometimes. I feel unworthy to serve God. I feel so unworthy to serve God as a pastor. And to think that how Paul must have felt with all he did to be able to get up and then preach the same Jesus that he crucified and now to preach him. But Paul says, one thing I understand, I've got to let that go and I got to reach ahead to what God has in store for me. God has something in store for each of us in 2014. God has plans for our lives if we will allow him to lead it and get out of the way. And trust him. Not our will, as D sung, but his will. Next verse, Jeremy. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had a goal. It was to press toward the mark of the Lord. It was to keep getting closer and closer to him, achieving his final destination, which would be seeing Jesus. I mean, isn't that our destination? That should be all of our destination, to one day see Jesus. To one day be in his kingdom, to one day, that's what we sing songs about. And, you know, we pray and we preach and we teach all these things that in the end, our bodies will fail, our eyesight will fail, our flesh will fall. But the one thing that doesn't is that the high calling of Jesus is that mark that's waiting on all of us, that final destination of walking into his kingdom, living forevermore. The fleeting years this earth pass away so quickly. I mean, so quickly. Even, you know, we've been in ministry for 12 years, and Forrest says, you're 20 now or 19? 19. So 19 minus 12 is what, 7? 7. Forrest was 7 years old when he started coming here. Sound like yesterday. Baptized him through this ministry. I remember him, 7. Now he's almost 20 years old. That much time has passed already. I mean, Forrest went from complaining about Jamie hitting him with a CD to fighting for our nation. He's a soldier. He's a man. He carries a gun. You carry a gun, right? Yeah, he carries a gun. I mean, he is in the army singing those songs, chanting those things, wearing that green, getting all the women in the uniform. Do you remember that far? He used to sing it. Now he's singing army songs like it. I'll pull the trigger in the scope of my sight. And you better get out because you're about to blow up like some dynamite. It's amazing how time passes. So amazing. Time is just so fleeting, church. And what have we got left at the end to hope for? Nothing but Jesus. When our health fails, we got God. When our money runs out, we still got God. When our wife walks out, we still got God. When our children leave home, we still got God. When everything fails, the one thing that will not fail is God. His presence, his abiding presence, carrying us over the Jordan into our promised land. That's something we can bank on our eternity. Our soul going on with him. And Paul understood that. Paul said, man, I'll suffer all this stuff. And Paul suffered now. If you don't know much about Paul, he suffered in the ministry. I mean, we think we suffer because somebody persecutes us or talks about us. We can't even close our eyes, you know, to say a blessing. Are you kidding me? You know what Paul suffered? He was whipped and beat and imprisoned and shipwrecked and ran out of town a rail. I mean, over and over and over. and end up dying for Christ, being executed in a prison because he believed in Jesus. These martyrs that went before us paid a great price that we could freely worship our Savior. Martyrs for thousands of years that pay the... And still there's martyrs being in other countries, not here in America, not yet, but other countries. People are dying over the world for the cause of Christ. They're still dying because they believe in Jesus. And man, the world can't stand that. Believe in anything else is fine. But boy, don't believe in Jesus. That crossed the line. Why? Because the only truth and the only power there is in Jesus. No other name invokes any demons but the name of Jesus. Go to the next point, the next verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, if you're in Christ today, here you are. You're a new creature, a creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. The simplest way I know how to do it is when you give your life to Jesus, you get a do-over. It's called do-over. The slate's clean, you're not who you were, and everything starts fresh again. All your sins are forgiven, all your past is over, and you have a brand new start to live life the way that God wants you to live it. It's a do-over. Man, we love do-overs. You know, if you're a golfer, know much about that. You got the, what they call it, the mulligan. You know, and you keep using that to try to get the best score or, you know, whatever. Well, we get a mulligan with God. You know, we get the best because he forgives us, wipes away our old game, and gives us a brand new game. We're a new creation in Christ. We're born again. Fresh start. Every new year brings a new beginning and a fresh start. As you go into the next new year, the next few days, begin to think about what do you want to see happen in your life in 2014? What do you really want to see happen? What do you want to see happen in your family, in your relationship with God, in your job, in your mind, with your children, whatever? What do you see? What, set some goals and say, God, this year I give to you. I dedicate this whole year to you, God. Take my life that I'll serve you all year long. And open up the doors that need to be opened and close the ones that need to be closed. And keep me in your will, not my own. Because we can get ourselves in some big trouble if we don't wait on God. Some big trouble. Get the next one, Jeremy. So the first one was forget the past. Number two point, embrace the present. There are too many people, including myself, because of just the stress of life. Anybody else ever get stressed? Show of hands. Okay. I was alone. Good. Stress causes a lot of problems. It causes health issues, heart issues, hair loss. Causes a lot of things. It causes gray hair, premature aging. It causes divorce. Causes discouragement. Stress causes suicide. I mean, stress causes a lot of things. And the reason I think that we are so stressed is we've not learned to enjoy the present. Remember the old song, Christian song, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus? That's all I'm asking for you. Just give me the strength to do everything I have to do. Yes. One day at a time. The present. If we could learn to enjoy today, because we're here today, church. The rain has stopped. Look, there's light coming out there. And all these folks that we don't want to come out in the rain now are out in the light. The sun is breaking. The birds are singing. You'll see squirrels a little bit start coming out, getting their food. After it rains like this, all the animals start coming out. Rabbits and squirrels and birds start coming out and start trying to find food. Randy's ducks are probably halfway up Jennings Road right now. I mean, the things are out. Today's a good day because we're here. We're alive. We're well. Today you can see. Every one of you in here can see me and can hear me. And most of you can understand me. Today is a day that we are gathered together in his presence. Let's enjoy today and quit worrying about tomorrow. Let's enjoy the blessing of right now. We can't get back yesterday. It's gone. And if we keep worrying about every day, we lose every day. Let's enjoy today. I don't know what later day is going to bring or tomorrow, but I know right now we're here together. Embrace the present and thank God for it. That's something that I think we've lost because we're either back in the past grieving or so far in the future that we're not where we're supposed to be now. And we need to enjoy the present. We need to enjoy it. The Christmas dinners at family, the time with your children, you know, the movie with me and Christian last night, to me that was a, you know, I appreciate her enduring that with me. It's a long movie, I know. And she endured that with me. And to me, that was a moment that will always be recorded in time that we had to enjoy that time. Don't be looking at me like that. I'm a sap. That's okay. Oh, it is a moment, a precious moment. Enjoy those moments. Enjoy the trips to Walmart with Ashley, Melanie. Enjoy those moments where you're with her and she's running her mouth so much. Thank God she can talk. Thank God she's here. Thank God she's on your nerves. That means you still got nerves. Thank God for that. There's times that we need to enjoy our present and embrace it. There's a scripture talk about this. Matthew 6, and we've read this before. Matthew 6, 25. We'll read through verse 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet what you shall put on your body. What you shall put on, is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment or clothing? Behold the fowls of the air. Now I love this illustration Jesus uses here. This is Jesus speaking. The fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. I love this illustration that the Lord uses, that he takes care of the birds. You don't see a bird going to food line and checking out and swiping his debit card. You don't see that happen. You don't see a bird going to McDonald's ordering a number two. You don't see that. But they're out there. And somehow they find what they need because God provides it. There's not a bird alive that worries about tomorrow. They're worried about right now. Shelter, food, their mate, singing to each other across the trees. You know, did you see that, George? Sure did, man. That was crazy, wasn't it? Did you see that, Frank? Yeah, I saw it. I mean, they're just worried about the moment, communicating. If God takes care of the birds, won't he take care of his creation? What are the most important thing he has, church? Humanity is the most important creation God has. We are his prized possession. That's why we're here. That's why we're born. We weren't born because we were a mistake. We weren't born because it was an accident. We were born because God designed it that way. All life comes from God. Church, I believe that. I know that we may not plan on our kids sometimes. You may not like, you know, it could be an oops moment for mom and dad. You know, it could be an oops moment. It could be a, man, why I do that? Or, man, what was I thinking? Or, man, I shouldn't have that extra glass of wine. I understand that. But it wasn't a mistake with God. Because I don't care how good we think we are, we can't give life. It still takes the hand of God to breathe that life. And every life is special to God. And he takes care of those birds and he feeds them. He says, are you not much better than they? This is Jesus talking. Are you not much better than the birds? Of course we are. So he goes on to say, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now if you do research on the stature word, we've always kind of been taught it meant height, but it really means length of life. So Joe Brown can worry every day about how long he's going to live, but it won't change a thing. It won't change. He can't make himself live longer by worrying about it. That's what the Lord is saying here. By worrying about our life, we can't change one thing. What he's saying is quit worrying about the future and enjoy what you have now. Enjoy the present because you may not always have it. You know, I do believe my parents, especially my mom when she says this, I do believe her. I'm not there yet, so I can't relate, but I do believe her. And I believe she'll be right, partially right. I believe she'll be mostly right. When we talk about, as a parent, if you've got your kids out of the house, you've got what they call the empty nest. It's a pretty good thing. No kids at the house anymore. You can do what you want to do. You can go where you want to go. You ain't got to worry about all the stress. You ain't got to worry about taking care of them and feeding them, and they're on their own. They're out of the house, man. You want to take off to down the road, you take off and ain't got to worry about nothing. Empty nest sounds wonderful to most of us parents, especially if you got smaller kids. Sounds great. Mom says, but there'll be a point you'll miss it, James. You'll miss the pitter patter of feet in the house. In my house, it's not pitter patter. That's what my house sounds like. Yeah. And I know I'll miss it. Because I'm looking to the future. I told Mel I'd take her to Hawaii on our 20th anniversary, and I didn't. Was it 20th? And I didn't. And I told her when she turned 40, I'd take her. I didn't. Did I say that? Well, anyway, we have plans. We have dreams. We have goals. And I don't want to rush my kids up. I just want to kind of help them along the way. You know what I'm saying? But I know I'll miss it. I know I'll miss it. And my whole point of telling that is that sometimes we get so concerned about tomorrow that we forget to embrace today in those moments. Sharing the movie with Christian, the Walmart experience with Ashley, shooting a gun with Jamie. Those moments that seem like maybe not big moments, but are moments that I know I'll reflect on later. And like I kind of miss having somebody to fuss at. I kind of miss having somebody to call down. That's true. I kind of miss the pitter-patter of the feet. I kind of miss Ashley hanging all over our golden retriever. Oh, Hunter, I love you. Oh, I love you, Hunter. I kind of, you know, it gets on our nerves. Be a day I probably will miss some of that. So we need to enjoy today and embrace, because our kids will be grown one day. They'll be married. They're telling where they'll be living at. A lot of you have kids all over the world. You know, I know George Ann's got family in New York. Joe's got family in Virginia, Ohio. I mean, our family's scattered. You know, Dee's got family on Lot 6 in Florida. So, and by the way, your mother sent me a text message, a Merry Christmas message with a picture. Let her know I hate her. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like they're in Jamaica or something. What? Merry Christmas? Yeah, it's like, you know, 44 degrees here and like a tropical paradise where they're at. So I realize that that'll be one day we're scattered. But enjoy the moments, because we can't get them back. We can't get those moments back once they're gone. Time's the one thing, church, we can't buy. When it passes, it passes. And it's over. So enjoy today. He goes on to say, why take you thought for your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Talking about the flowers. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. The flowers do no work. God just gives them their glory. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, if God produced the flowers, which is today, and then tomorrow is cast into the oven, flowers here today, gone tomorrow, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow. Here's what he says. Don't take no thought for tomorrow. It doesn't mean we don't plan. He's not talking about that. But we don't live our whole life worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. No thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So take no thought of tomorrow. Enjoy today and trust me. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make sure you got gas in your car, food in your kitchen, a roof over your head, heat in your house, clothes on your back. I'm going to take care of you. Trust me. I think what God really desires of us is for us to have a day-to-day trust in him. Daily bread. Daily trust. Not trying to figure out ourselves and getting rich quick and putting a big old nest egg back to where we think we've done something with our life. Just trust God day by day by day to take care of you. David says, I've never seen his seed forsaken, his seed out begging for bread. I've never seen that happen, because he takes care of us day by day. And we need that daily strength. You know what relying on his daily strength does for us? It builds up our faith to rely on him day by day. To say, God, I don't have it together. I need you tomorrow and the next day, because I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I have good days, I have bad days. And God, on those bad days, man, I need you. That's for sure. So I want to trust you day by day. Embrace the present. So we got to forget the past. We got to embrace the present. The third point I have, envision the future. The word envision means that we have to see it. We have to capture it here. We have to see it before it happens. That we have to envision the future. We got a future coming up, future year 2014. What do you want to happen in your future? What do you see happening? What's your goals? What do you want to see God do in your life? What do you want to see God do in your family? have some goals of the future. Envision that. Here's some verses that verify this. Jeremiah 29:11. This is how the Amplified version, this particular verse. "For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." God has a future for us. It's called heaven. It's called the kingdom of God. It's called eternal life. He has a future and a plan for us, but not even beyond that, before that. He has plans for us in the earth, church. He has plans for us here. Just like the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, you know, the whole theme of that is if he'd never been born, how things would be different. He said, "I wish I'd never been born." So the angel shows him what would have been different if he hadn't have been born. Everything would be different if you hadn't have been born, every one of you. If you hadn't have been born, your life would be different and the people around you would be different. You don't realize the impact you made. And we won't realize it until the final outcome. But each one of you has made an impact in somebody's life. And they are different because you were alive and you were born. God has plans for you. Envision that. Trust that. Embrace that. Ask God to lead you into your future. Don't go into it in the dark. Don't do it in your own way. Here's what we got to figure out. Is our goals God's goals? Or are they just my goals? Because if they're just my goals and God's not in it, it won't be the right goal. Now, I believe God gives us desires, but I also believe that he matches that desire for our life. But we got to listen. You know, in that movie, Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart's whole goal was to leave that horse-bitten town, right? That one little bit town, see the world. He had all these maps, South America and all these different exotic places, Europe, and he kept trying to get away, but he couldn't. Something kept coming up. Something kept him there. His will was to see the world. But the will God had for him was to be the world in his town. There's a difference. Sometimes we can't do what we want to do. It's not that God's unjust. It's that God knows best. And God sees what's ahead. And God says, "That's not the right door for you. It may look right, but man, do not go through that door. It's wrong. It's wrong for your life." Next verse, Jeremy. This is 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." See, the light affliction is for a moment. It's just temporary. But there's an eternal glory waiting on all of us. Eternal glory that when we cross over, we'll see. We have affliction now. We have burdens. We have stress. We have pain. We have hurt. We have a past. We have frustrations. We have anger. We have fear. But all that's temporary. All that's going to give way and give birth to an eternal glory that's waiting on each of us when our time comes. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The things we see here all will pass away. Everything. Trees die, flowers die, cars die, homes die, people die, far as in the flesh. Money dies, everything dies. Everything wears out. Everything that we can touch is temporal. Everything. Everything. This will eventually rot one day. If it's here 200 years, this thing will eventually, if it's out, it'll just die. It'll wear out. It'll get old. It'll rust. But the one thing that doesn't wear out is the eternal weight of glory, our soul. That's eternal. That's the future we have waiting on us. And if we could learn and understand that that's what's waiting on us, we can enjoy our present a whole lot more to know what's waiting on us. It's only temporary. It's only just for a moment. It's only for a season. But God's got something so much bigger for me, so much greater for my life than what I see right now. Because life is hard, church, for all of us. We all have hard issues in our lives. Hard. But what's waiting on us is all good. And so we'll all give way to that eternal eternal glory. Let this year be a different year in your life. You want to change? Change. Don't say you can't change. Sure you can. We can all change. People say, I can't change. People can't. No, you can change. I bet Forrest did stuff in boot camp he never thought he would do before boot camp. You know, out at his house, just riding his bike or playing his video games, you know, and all of a sudden now he's doing 2,000 push-ups. I mean, really, you know, running 3,000 miles. A little extreme there, I know, but I'm just saying. You had to push yourself, didn't you, to the limit. You were pushed in boot camp, wasn't you? You were pushed. I'm sure it is, and y'all sleep half the day. Most of y'all don't go to bed at 5 in the morning your age. So, yeah, I'm sure it's hard getting up at 5 in the morning. Can you imagine that whistle blowing or whatever they say when they walk in? I mean, it's no gentle, you know. Christian, buddy, wake up. Time for school. Give me head. Get out of here right now. My God, really? And you don't say chill to a DI. No. You get up. Push to the limits. We can change if we allow God to help us. You got issues you don't want to take next year? Let God change that. You got things you're ashamed of? Let God change that. You got things that you want to do different? Let God change that. Just because it's always been doesn't mean it has to always be. We at any moment, with God's help, can say, Lord, I want this year to be different. I want to quit some things. I want to change some things about myself. I want to live for you in a deeper way or a better way. I've got a habit I need to kick. I've got a stronghold I need to break. I've got something I need to change. I want to be a better husband, a better father, a different person, whatever it is. I know with your help, God, I can be different and I can change. And we ask God to help us in the new year to bring that to pass, to give us the wisdom and understanding to be different. Because there's stuff in my life that I want out. There's stuff in my life I want changed. So it's a great time to have that break as we go into a new year. To say, I'm not going to carry that junk. Go to the next slide, Jeremy. Our 3 points here. I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to embrace the present. I'm going to envision the future. I got to forget what's behind me. Enjoy what's here now. And look forward to what's yet to come. Man, if we could get that mindset. But it starts with number one, forgetting the past. Because we can't go any further unless we do that. The past is a great thing to forget as we cross into a new year. There's some of you carrying still a lot of hurt and grief for ones that you've lost. Pray that God helps you with that in the new year. Gives you strength to have a better year. To realize that there's still a purpose for you to be here. That you're here because you're supposed to be here. There's a reason you're still here. You know, Billy Graham is 95 years old. And, you know, of course not in the best shape of his life. But he's still here for a reason. He's not died because it's not time for him to die. When it's his time, God will take him home. But right now it's not. You may think, man, you know, he's just not doing much good anymore. He can barely move. And what's the point? There's a point. Or he'd be gone. I believe that. There's a point to you still being here. Make the best of it. Make the best. Impact your world around you. Impact your grandkids, your children, the church body, whoever. Impact somebody around you. You're here because God has not called you yet. And as long as you're here, there's a reason you're here. So do something with it. Man, do something with every day you wake up. Do something with it. It could be... You don't know the impact you can have in somebody's life just by being there for somebody. You know, when you go to lunch today, ask your server, how's your day going? Going pretty good. And then ask them this. Say, is there anything you need prayer about? Because I want to pray for you today. Anything you need us to pray? Just simple question like that. You'll be surprised what they'll open up and tell you. They will open up and talk to you. Before you know it, they're sitting down with you. Talking about their divorce they went through. Talking about their child that's giving them hell. Whatever it is, they'll open up to. All it takes is us being the glove. to reach out and let God do it. You are here, church, for a reason. 2014 will be here in 2 days. Don't forget our service we're having Tuesday night. We're going to have a service starting at 8:30. Got Mike Benfield and Karis Church will be here to share it with us again this year. He's going to have a word. And we're going to have about an hour break for food. We'll come back in and bring the new year in together. As we bring in the new year together, it's a time to leave the past behind and say, God, brand new slate. Starting all over. It's kind of like how we always dream about going somewhere else to live. Wouldn't it be nice? How fun would this be? I'll put me for an example. Not anything against any of you. I love you all. Okay, I'm just talking completely selfish James here. If I said, well, after I say amen, take up the last offering, me and Melanie are going home, we're packing our bags, we're getting our car, and we're just going to ride, and I don't know where we're going to end up, but we're just going to go somewhere and land and just go from there. That sounds exciting, don't it? Don't know where I land. Texas, Montana, Florida, Lot 6, I don't know. But I want to land somewhere. Nebraska. It's exciting to think, man, I could just go start somewhere fresh. But you know what? Every one of us in here have a little bit of Jimmy Stewart in us, don't we? This here is the bank and loan for me. Or whatever they call it. Bank and loan, something loan company. But every one of us has something we're responsible for. But I'm just talking about in scenario, it would sound so good. But here's what the Lord does. When we allow Him to forgive us of our sins, that's what it's like, starting over. You're brand new. I don't see you like you've been. You're a brand new person now. So I see you completely different. It's a great thing to be liberated by the grace of God, to really be liberated and forgiven by the grace of Jesus, to know I'm going to be in heaven because of what Jesus did at Calvary. There's nothing like the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light, all my sins were rolled away. Thank God for that. Let's pray, church. Father, we're about to embark on a brand new year in a couple of days, and 2013 has been challenging for many of us in many ways. Some of us have lost folks we've loved. We've been through storms and battles, uncertainties. We've had marital problems, family problems, financial problems, a lot of issues, God, but we've had a lot of victories as well. We're still here, Lord. We're still alive. We're still well. We can walk, see, hear, talk. We can still love. We still have a mind that works and operates. And God, we thank you for what you've done in our lives in 2013, for bringing us through this year, for protecting our homes, protecting our families, Lord, protecting our nation. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you that you're still in control of everything that happens, Lord, that you are God of all. No matter what comes our way, you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we thank you for bringing us through another year on this earth. I pray for the year 2014 that's coming up. For some of these folks I know I won't see again until next week. For those I don't see, God, I pray over the body that as 2014 breaks forth this week, that they will have a new vision, a new understanding, a new emboldenment, embracing to say, this is a different year. I'm not going to live like I did last year. I'm going to make changes. I'm going to decide to do things differently. I'm going to follow you, God, and your will for my life. I pray for strength, for hope, for joy, for peace, for every heart, every mind of this church body, Lord, that 2014 will be a year of blessing, a year of favor, a year of grace and mercy, a year of deliverance, a year of healing, a year of restoration. It'll be a year that we see you in a brand new way, a deeper way, a more intimate way, a year, God, of jubilee, a year of liberation, a year of freedom. Let this be a prosperous, blessed year for this ministry as well as for your people, Lord. Touch homes, touch families, touch children, touch marriages, touch lives, and let your hand be seen in 2014, Lord. Let it be seen in a very mighty way. We give you honor and praise for who you are. For every heart in here this morning, God, that does not know you, let this be a new beginning. Let them confess you as their Lord this year, that they carry you into the new year as Lord and Savior. Remind them that all they need to do is come to you and say, God, I've been wrong. Forgive me. Wipe away my slate. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you are Lord and Savior of all. I believe you're the only way to eternal life. As they say that, God, and give their hearts to you, you will erase their past and clean their slate, and all will be forgiven as they call upon your name. You said anyone that calls upon your name, believes in their heart, and confesses with their mouth shall be saved. Thank you, Father, for saving grace here. Touch every heart and every mind. In the name of Jesus, we give you honor, praise, and glory. The church said, amen.